Hey, welcome to Ask the Experts, and we have one in the studio now. It's Just Ask Bob. Bobby Asadurian from RRRinc.ca. You can ask Bob anything. Well, you know, within reason, right, Bob? Do you do recipes at all? Are you much in the kitchen with the cooking?
I can boil water.
Yeah, buddy. See, you're all over
eat.
It.
I Good. Can eat.
Yeah, oh, yes, we can all do that, Bob.
True.
Bobby Asadurian is the contractor you can bring home to mom, and he likes to talk not just about renovations. He'll give you advice. He will give you suggestions. Worst case scenario, he'll come out and look at your problem. We sometimes will talk about the problems we have with contractors.
Exactly.
Because you as a contractor, this is a constant battle. And you know what? It's the same thing, right? I mean, I'm in radio. I meet somebody. You know what I hate about radio? Blah, blah, blah. It's the same thing with you. You run into people and they go, oh, this contractor, he ripped me off. This contractor did this. But you have written a book that it lays out for people the ways that you can make sure this doesn't happen. Make sure you find somebody who's
reputable. It's all literally about just asking, whether it's consultation, issues with a contractor, information they want, if they're going to be going to court after somebody, you know, having me come out and look at a job, questions for the do-it-yourselfer that's going to do it, him or herself. I'm here. I'm here for everybody.
And it is important to ask those questions, and sometimes I think we all get a little nervous about the confrontation, and maybe he's going to get mad if I ask him about that. But you know what? It's your money. You're the customer.
Homeowners worry, and the great majority of them are shy. I don't know for what reason exactly, but they'll just let things happen. They'll get in the motion with it, and then they'll complain a lot after he or she is gone, meaning the contractor.
Right.
You can't be that way. I mean, if your contractor doesn't want to be micromanaged or doesn't want you in his or her hair asking questions daily, don't hire him or her. Mm-hmm. That's not the contractor for you. I don't mind. I encourage the people. See, I like being chatty. I enjoy it. I like to say to somebody, come here, look. Look how terrible that was done. Look at what we found opening this up. This is the right way to do it. It's my nature. I enjoy going through the work as I'm doing it, and that's why I'm respected when the day's said and done.
Right.
People speak highly above me. I don't necessarily, you know, want the home empty, homeowner gone, love it, do what I do, quick, fast, and out. I don't mind the people being around. Generally, everybody's been nice.
905-645-3200. #820 on the Bell Mobility. If you want to ask Bob a question about anything having to do with renovations, you got something you need to fix, you're wondering if you should fix something. I've run into that a couple of times where I've met people who, this is what's happening to me now. Just ask Bob that you have on your show. Could you ask him? I'm going to, would you call the darn show?
905 directly.
645-3200, #820 on the Bell Mobility. I'm not asking your question for you. You have to call.
Don't be shy, Hamilton.
But one of the interesting things I find is that there are homeowners who have potentially a problem. And it's one of these, maybe if I bury my head in the sand, it'll go away. I mean, if you think there might be something, at least get it investigated and from somebody who can tell you, listen, you need to do something, but if you can wait a little while, you'd be straightforward, right? I mean, I think they're worried that the guy's he's going to want the business and he's going to come after me and he's not going to tell me the truth. That's why you have
honesty
to find someone.
Honesty is very important. I'm on a job now at this moment. We've been on the job, and the homeowners asked us to quote two new potential items.
Right.
One is the chimney, and one is something with a subfloor area in the basement. Now, just late last night, I was putting the quote together, emailed it to the homeowner, and very specifically and clearly I mentioned that the subfloor area should be attended to right away because there's a water issue. The chimney, however, not a big deal. I wouldn't let it go through next winter. So, I mean, essentially from now till the end of my season doing chimneys, which is November. So, I mean, that's not only giving an email, but giving information. That's the essence of information.
Yeah, yeah.
Letting them know what needs to be done immediately and what is not so urgent.
And the contractors cut their nose off to spite their face, because the thing is, if you do a decent job and you're honest with somebody and you're upfront with them, they'll keep calling you back. And they'll tell everybody about you. Listen, we got to call Bob before we go on. We got to get Mark on the line here.
Great.
Just ask Bob, 905-645-3200, #820 on the Bell Mobility. Mark, your question for Bobby.
Yeah, Bob, I had some marble tile in the basement that was put down by a contractor over what used to be a bearing wall, and the tile's popped up, so I'm just wondering what I can do to fix it up and put new tile down.
Okay, now explain to me again by the bearing wall. So this is a basement floor, concrete floor, correct?
It's a concrete floor. There used to be a bearing wall there. There was a load-bearing beam put in, and then the wall was taken out.
Okay.
And then they laid the marble tile down over where this it looks like a concrete block wall between the floor slabs.
Yeah, there must be some shifting because ideally the easiest place with the least amount of issues to tile is a basement concrete floor. I mean, the slab is there, the thickness is there. Does the problem seem to be right over where the bearing wall used to be?
Yeah, the tile is heaved up.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there must be some shifting going on.
Because you're dealing at that point with the end of the slab, right?
Exactly. There's some shifting going on there. Unfortunately, yeah, you'll have to pull up that tile. You'll have to chip the area low. So, I mean, you want to go at least an inch and a half below the surface and then do your repair. Actually, how long did it take from when it was done originally till now? How much time passed before the shifting occurred?
It took a couple of years.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I would say there shouldn't be any more of a shifting issue, so this isn't something that'll be reoccurring on and on again, but you will have to deal with it at this point. Did you buy extra tile? Do you know, can you match that up down there?
I had the foresight to buy a couple extra boxes of tile, yeah.
Good for you. Yeah. That's all. I'm just dealing with a customer of my own now and ordering tile for the bathroom work that I'm doing, and I always tell people, keep a half a box to three quarters of a box on hand for the future.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen around the shower, around the floor, because you'll never match it. Years later, you'll never match it.
When you're talking to Mark about having to go below, you're talking he's going to have to chip that concrete?
Oh, literally, yeah. Chip it down, get a little bit below, and then fill it. Now, the important thing, too, Mark, is once you fill that or repair that, let it set for at least 30 days. You know, concrete, thin set, mortar, whatever you're using, it sort of expands or settles in its own way within 30 days. I wouldn't tile over the fresh stuff right away. So let the repair cure for at least 30 days, and then you can go in and weave in the repair area.
Are you chipping the both slabs and the concrete block or just the block?
I would chip both. I would chip both down evenly, at least an inch and a quarter. You know, refill it again to level with the adjoining surfaces, adjacent surfaces. Not exactly level. Stay about an eighth below. Let that cure up completely. And if this was the only issue over the last few years, you'll be fine. Nothing should be changing after that.
Hey, Mark, how would the room look with a carpet runner right down the middle of it? Is that?
That's an idea.
Nice tripping hazard, I'd say.
Yeah, I guess so. Absolutely. Anything else for Bobby, or have we answered your question?
That answered my question really well, thanks.
Well, thank you, Mark. I really appreciate your call.
Plus, appreciate you listening to Just Ask Bob. 905-645-3200, pound 820 on the Bell Mobility. That's how Mark got a hold of us, pound 820 on the Bell Mobility on your cell phone if you want to ask Bobby a question about either renovations, contractors, questions you have, should I get a permit, when should I get a permit. We were talking the other day, Bob, about how few people have permits for some of the work they do. And I know most people and most contractors, certainly if you're doing something significant with the structure of a building, it seems that they don't give that a free pass. But things like decks. Why, let's not talk about all the people who didn't get one. Why is it important? Because it is an extra cost you're going to incur. You're going to be inspected, so then the work has to be up to stuff. But what is it in the long term that's going to benefit me having had that permit?
Even the resale of your home.
Okay.
People are so much smarter these days than they used to be. I mean, right now when buying a home, if you're smart enough, you can call the city. That's a Freedom of Information Act. You can find out if permits have been pulled for the potential property you're looking at buying.
Okay.
Now, this is important. You see a sprawling deck built out there. You see a home that typically double-bricked Hamilton home that would have had galvanized piping,
right.
The old octagon outlets without even the ground prong. You know how the home would have been built, and now everything's updated. Everything's modern, glorious kitchen, dozens of pot lights. You know the home didn't come with it.
Mm-hmm.
So you call the city, you look through this, and you find out there's never been a permit pulled. Immediately, call in the doubt, call in the question, everything in this home.
Yeah.
Could have been a do-it-yourselfer gone wrong, do-it-yourselfer gone wild. It was not inspected. It was not checked. Electrical safety authority's never been there. Literally, it's a can of worms. Move on. Don't buy the home. So you don't want this to be your potential home that you're trying to sell one day. I mean, it's really important. The permits are there in place because, sorry to say, contractors cheat, contractors cut corners.
And even worse, do-it-yourselfers. I mean,
oh, no, even know. Worse. I mean, even worse. Just
because
everybody
because you just
reason.
Don't have the knowledge. And you sit there and you go, if you were leaving your house and, would you go out and teach driving lessons to people or whatever? I mean, would you go and do some professional job But we all think we can be contractors.
Well, I mean, but even with the contractors, some should know better, some don't know better,
right.
Some do know better. They're cutting the corner on purpose because they don't want the city looking over their shoulder.
Yeah.
Others have no idea that it needs a permit. That's why the homeowner should be looking into this.
Home inspectors, when you call a home inspector because you're getting, maybe potentially you're going to buy a property or mm-hmm. you're selling your property, would home inspectors, is that something they're going to be doing as well as pulling permits,
well,
or should they be?
Home inspectors won't get into that aspect of it. They won't call the city. They won't look into that. They're simply going to look through the home. Is what I like to say is, you know, they're going to touch, they're going to feel, they're going to knock on walls, they're going to use their experience. Now, unless you're getting a homes inspection, as we see on TV,
right.
It is very difficult. I mean, I don't want to paint them all with the
but
same
I'm
brush,
suggesting
but it's difficult.
Something like a deck that's poorly built or whatever. I mean, a home inspector would likely say, listen, that deck, I got questions about it. I don't think it's probably been inspected. I mean, things
well,
of that
well, they should
nature.
Catch that.
Okay.
They definitely should.
All right.
But basically, with a proper home inspector should start raising flags.
Yeah.
So basically, a home inspector, I mean, some are engineers, most aren't. So they should say red flag at the deck, mm-hmm. call in an engineer. Red flag at this roofing, get a roofer in.
Yeah.
Red flag at the electrical, have an electrician come in. Now, use the home or potential purchaser of this home can turn around now, reoffer to the homeowners and state, look, we need one or two more days for visits. We're bringing in an engineer. I'm bringing in a friend of mine who's a plumber, or I'm bringing in somebody to look at this electrical.
Right.
So basically, it's opening up a can of worms and it's putting up red flags. But a lot of home inspectors, I mean, if you read the fine print out of any home inspection agency, there's almost nothing there you can sue them for. I mean, it's basically visual, it's ideas, it's impressions. You know, like everybody, like any field, some are better than others, some work harder at it than others. So at the end of the day, be there for the inspection. Mm-hmm. Prod at the inspector, push at him.
Ask questions.
Yeah, ask questions. Just be there. You have to be there.
Yeah. 905-645-3200, #820 on the Bell Mobility. If you'd like to ask a question, that's 905-645-3200, #820 on the Bell Mobility. We're going to take this quick break. We'll come right back with your questions for Bobby Asadurian from RRRinc.ca. He's our in-house contractor here. It's Just Ask Bob on Experts on Call. Here on Talk 820. This is Experts on Call. Our expert today, Bobby Asadurian, Just Ask Bob. And you can visit his website, RRRinc.ca. You get fed a lot of questions at your website, Bob. I know a lot of people hear you on the radio show here, and they go, they can't phone because they're driving.
Abiding by the law.
Or they're a little nervous.
Could be.
Coming on, talking to a couple of good-looking guys like us. Hey, we could be a little intimidating.
It's true.
If you have the guts, 905-645-3200, #820 on the Bell Mobility. Ask Bob your renovation questions. You can also see his latest column in Silver and Gold Magazine. You can go to sngmagazine.com. And you got a contest.
Yes. We're giving prize giveaways. On me to Williams Pub, a lunch for two.
You're taking two to Williams Coffee Pub for lunch. For the best question submitted to Just Ask Bob, email at RRRinc.ca. Some of the sample questions, people say, should all bathrooms have an exhaust fan? Are you questioning your contractor's work ethics? Which is the easiest, longest-lasting kitchen faucet to install? Well, now that one kind of has me interested, Bob. You know what? Let's just before, I just want to make sure people know that you can email those questions to email at RRRinc.ca, and you'll go into the contest for lunch for two at Williams Coffee Pub with Bobby Asadurian.
Yes. Thanks quickly to Suzanne Soto Davies.
Yeah.
Editor and publisher of Silver and Gold for once again going into, I think I'm nearing my fourth year as a writer of Just Ask Bob for Silver and Gold.
That's awesome.
Thank you very much, Suzanne.
The website's sngmagazine.com, or you can visit RRRinc.ca and find the link there. The faucet, do you have an answer to that question?
Yes, I do. Yes, and that's an old question, but I mean, it's a nice one to put in there because
easiest,
a lot of people ask.
Longest lasting kitchen faucet to install.
And that's hard to get both for because, yes, it is the longest lasting and it is
the easiest.
Mowing.
Now, okay.
I have no reason to plug them. They
don't
give me a penny off, but they love me. I love Moen.
Well, and the thing is that Moen's got that deal where if anything goes wrong, they replace the part.
Lifetime warranty, and I can tell you, in the oldest one I ever put in was about 15, 16 years ago at my mom's home.
Yeah.
Nice big, the typical ones people were calling the showers there. It's the big round chrome circle with the
right.
lever in the middle. That has never had a problem, never. I've had one that was only 8 years old and needed a cartridge.
Right.
And, you know, through my authorized receiver there, they just chucked me a cartridge.
And they do the cartridge. The only thing was I had one, and it's, you know, the sort of plastic acrylic knob.
Yes, those are the older series. That's what my mom's is. They've updated those now to the full chrome.
Right, because the acrylic knob, it doesn't, that's not covered under the Moen guarantee. And the thing is mine, I actually ended up breaking one.
You broke it? The
inside groove that helped turn the water actually just snapped.
Really? And that's the one my mom has.
You know how much one of those stupid knobs cost? $19.
No expense.
I was going, holy mackerel. So anyway, all of a sudden I'm going, oh, what about this Moen?
you're right.
They have excellent products.
I've been installing them for ages, and I've also even coached do-it-yourselfers, the average homeowner, to install it, and they've installed it with ease.
Let us talk about, you have a couple of other questions.
Yes, I brought a few questions
come
in
into
here
the
with
website,
me.
So why don't you share one of those with us?
Yes.
I should remind people, if you want to get your question in before the end of the hour, you got to call now, 905-645-3200, #820 on the Bell Mobility. Go ahead, Bob.
Yes, this came in from Tyler from Stony Creek. Hello, Bob. I see that you recommend the American Standard Champion Model toilet on your website. And I have two questions for it. One, I've heard that it's a noisy toilet. And secondly, I've heard that it's a little difficult to when bolting the tank to the bowl. On both counts, yes, correct. Now, the toilet is a little bit noisy. Now, I mean, relatively, when you compare it to normal toilets, when you flush, just sounds a little noisier.
Right.
To me, it's not a big issue. People have to sort of, gauge that for themselves. Now, the second issue, for the do-it-yourselfer, it may be much more difficult when literally fastening the bolts from the tank to the bowl. It's because of the design, and it's got a very thick gasket. Now, for a professional such as myself or for contractors, it's a breeze.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, those are most likely the two only issues. American Standard listens to people's reviews.
Yeah.
When this toilet came out 7 years ago, people would, trifle little things they would bother about even the tank being too round, so you couldn't rest anything on it. So American Standard, the tank lid, they even redesigned the lid now. It not only is it flat, but it has a little border lip around the edge.
Oh,
so you could put something on it, and it'll sit flat. It won't roll up.
Oh.
So they're listening to people's questions,
but it
is the best toilet.
The one you're talking about, is that a low-flush variety?
Yes, correct. It's a low-flush variety.
Okay.
But the big thing with this toilet is, to my knowledge, this is the only toilet in the world that comes with 10-year warranty for everything that's in the box.
Okay.
And it's got a big picture of a plunger with a circle and a line through it. You will not plunge this toilet. I've installed this toilet to even compensate over plumbing issues that a home has had, and it still overcomes those plumbing issues.
Okay.
It's an amazingly designed toilet.
Because I got to say, the low flush toilets from 10 years ago,
they were terrible.
You might as well just keep the plunger beside the toilet.
Yeah, and you'd have to flush twice. Six and six, you got the 12 liters there.
Absolutely.
It wasn't doing anything. No, but this toilet, I completely endorse it. Anybody that wants to learn more about this toilet, I have the link on my homepage. It's on the left. It'll take you to American Standard, where they put it through a series of flushing tests. It's got the highest score test for capacity to be able to flush.
Okay.
It's a beautiful toilet.
And that website is RRRinc.ca. I wanted to ask you a little bit. I know we've gone through just an absolute scorcher the last few days. It must be hot for you out there on the site, eh?
Very hot. Very hot.
Hard to stay hydrated, but that's the most important thing, staying hydrated.
Trust me when I say it. Yeah. Lots of water.
Lots and lots of water. When it comes to us trying to keep our homes cool, one of the most important things you said was, this is real simple maintenance stuff, but you got to do it, and that is watch the filter on your air conditioner.
Filter. It's the same it's the same filter that would be there whether you're running air conditioning in the summer or whether you have the heat on in the wintertime.
Right.
People don't realize. Actually, a close friend of mine, I won't mention his name, you would be embarrassed about this if it got out, but he's familiar with the trades, a tradesman himself, but one winter his furnace cut out.
Right.
So, he had to call in the specialist. It was $120 minimum for them to come down there. And the reason the furnace shut off, there was some type of a thermal protection in there. It shut off on purpose before blowing the blower motor because the filter was just clogged. It was horrifying.
And
when he told me the story, I laughed at him. He's
handy. But he hadn't realized that all through the summer, the air conditioning is running through that same filter.
Oh, no, he knew. He knew.
Oh,
he just whatever the story, lazy, busy, kids, wife, the dog, whatever.
Okay.
And he's a tradesman himself.
All
so,
right.
For the homeowner, at least every month, at least monthly. Because, you don't know, dust kicks up in the home, animals, all of a sudden something's just getting caught in there. pull the filter out, look at it, replace it. It's that simple.
Listen, there are those two varieties of filter. I mean, there's the filters that you throw away, and then there's the ones that you can
reuse. Correct. People should know if they have one that they've purchased specially, because new homes won't come with it.
Right.
So, I mean, if you've put one in...
What do you think, which do you like better? The ones that you clean out, or because I've got one you clean out, and I've got to say I'm probably pretty sure I'm not really able to clean it out well enough that it's like a new filter.
I would say it's more of, and I mean, again, take this with a grain of salt. Everybody should research this themselves as well. My personal opinion is it's a bit of a gadget. I mean, it's a money saving sort of a marketing ticket or marketing thing. I believe the better ones are the ones that have their electrostatic. They're charged somehow electrostatically so they can absorb. Now, those ones, of course, they're disposable.
Right.
And then right up to the best ones, which, you know, they're electrically operated and they're always, you know, ticking and zapping and killing things in there.
So you sort of just have to go with, but you,
research again, research, definitely.
And the ones that you clean out yourself, not as likely to maybe, you know, it
not
just
as,
seems
not
to
as
me
likely
that I can't
get... remove smoke. I mean, if you have people smoking in the home or animals, you know, you really air quality is important.
Yeah.
I mean, you could take this to the full extreme of whole home air purification system, air cleaners.
Okay.
I mean, these cost thousands of dollars. They're attached to the home. They're constantly monitoring the air, pulling in fresh air from outside, alternating the air. I mean, if somebody's got a health issue or if they simply want the best air for their family to breathe, that's something worth looking into.
This is also the time of year, and we had a heavy rain the other yesterday, maybe rain again today. We got a little bit of rain. That was good. But the but it's also the time of year when people do a lot of these repairs that you can't do in the wintertime. So maybe you got your week's holidays. You go, oh, I got to get around. I got to caulk the windows.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that we check that caulking all the time. How often does caulking on an exterior window really need to be replaced?
Well, and this was a question from Silver and Gold. When I tell people inspect your caulking annually, I don't necessarily mean change it.
Right.
Now, caulking's been around forever. There's a few other different ones as well, but what's been around for the last 5 years, it's polyurethane base caulking.
Okay.
Now, that stuff is rated the last 50 years.
Right.
Now, I would say realistically, because I mean, I don't like to believe the hype or believe marketing, but I would practically swear that particular brand will last at least 15 to 20.
Okay.
So it almost is the caulking that you only do once. It's expensive. It's nearly $7 a tube. Buy that, use that when you only want to do the caulking once.
Okay.
Other than that, for any type of regular caulking, tops every 2 to 3 years, you're going to be replacing it. And don't put caulking over caulking. Everybody does that.
That's like shingles over shingles, isn't it?
Oh, no, but even worse
than
that.
Even
it makes
than
no
that.
Sense. Do the work. Scrape it. Remove. I've seen homes where it's all peeling.
They
just blend it all in with the new stuff. And
Bobby,
nothing bonds, nothing adheres.
I've done some tremendous artwork with caulking on top of caulking.
That's a good way to phrase it.
Absolutely.
It can be considered artwork.
I've got corners that are all swaled. It looks beautiful.
Two months ago in Silver and Gold, I sort of threw a punt out there at our climate here in Canada. Realistically, there's only 7 months here in our province, at least, to do exterior work.
Yeah.
And these are the months we're in now. Figure it out, whether it's your roof, whether it's your eavesdrops.
Yeah.
Please don't start phoning me. Don't start burning up my lines and email accounts. Come November, sending in questions and queries for come to our roof. Every year, I tell you, since 2003
Absolutely.
When I started the business. Every November, and some people just before Christmas, they want roofs, they want eavesdrops, they want caulking done, they want the porch stained, right?
Well, that's
right
when they notice
winter.
It, Bob.
Well, I know, but wrong time of year. They've got months and months ahead of them now. We can work it out scheduling
or
do it yourself.
Go out, walk around the perimeter of your house, kick the tires, make sure it's all okay, and
exactly.
If you have to do some repairs, well, he's the guy to call. RRinc.ca. You can email him with your questions. You can email him with requests for a quote. You can follow him in Silver and Gold magazine. His latest column is in that magazine, and a chance to win a lunch with Bobby in that magazine as well.
Oh, actually, let me correct that, though. I may not necessarily be there for the lunch, right? It's
You're
a lunch.
Just springing
well,
for
I'm
lunch.
Springing for lunch for two because I'm busy. But you know what? If I've got time and it's too hot out, I'd love to come join inside the air-conditioned Williams Cafe.
All right.
But generally, it's a lunch for two. I may
Excellent.
Not be there.
Well, win lunch for two at Williams Pub, SNGmagazine.com, and RRinc.ca is Bobby's website. Just Ask Bob every second Thursday right here on Ask the Experts. Thank you so much
thank
for being
you,
here,
Mike,
Bob.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you, Hamilton, for listening.
Have a great 14 days. Coming back with the Dave Shuttleworth Show next, Talk 820 times 1258.